You're tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network, featuring news, interviews, and commentary on all things Black Hollywood. Hollywood redefined. From Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is Black Hollywood Live. Next, featuring intimate and in-depth interviews with Black Hollywood's next edition of stars and influencers. Black Hollywood Live. Hollywood redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host for Black Hollywood Live, next.
What up, what up, what up? Welcome to another episode of Black Hollywood Live Online. Next, as you can hear this song, next. Two quotes. Sing it to me. Sing it to me. Sing it to me. Oh, girl, no, stop. Ooh. Y'all, no, stop. You worse than me. What's up, y'all? I'm your host, Megan Thomas, and who are you two?
Who am I?
Why you looking at me?
What's going on, everyone? I'm Cortez D. West. Welcome back to another sit-down with us. Next to me, I have the lovely
Kiki Ayers. And today, we have another special guest for you. This guy is handsome, honey. I thought him, I was like, ooh, hey.
He all right.
Give it up for Andre Fuller! Yay!
Famous man.
Famous actor extraordinaire.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. So we're just gonna jump right in.
My pleasure.
You're from Houston, right?
Born and raised.
Are you from some of the rougher parts of Houston?
I am.
What was it like growing up there?
Pretty much the same as a lot of inner city, you know, areas. You had to be tough. You had to have thick skin, but also a lot of fun. You know, when you grow up in a neighborhood like my neighborhood, everybody knows each other. You grow up with each other. You've known the same people since elementary school all the way through high school. So you have a camaraderie and a bond with those guys, and it's fun terrorizing the neighborhood together.
What was some of the crazy stuff that you saw growing up?
Oh man, you know it's crazy because a lot of people don't know this about Houston, but well, Houston is in Texas, so I guess it's not far-fetched to believe. But Houston being the fourth largest city in the country, it's actually like the city, but within the city limits, you have like some very country areas.
right.
And the area that I grew up in was one of those areas where it wasn't uncommon to see horses. Just
really?
Galloping down the street, like little kids.
In the hood? Are you
in
serious?
The hood.
What?
And I don't mean, we weren't like in barns and.
Right.
But you would wake up to some roosters in the morning.
That's so funny.
Yeah, but it was in the hood. So I've seen all kind of crazy things that, you know.
So you're country, basically, what you're telling us.
I'm Southern.
This is your real accent you're giving us right now. You're just trying to give us a...
No.
I mean, we being home, we just... hey!
when I go home, it gets a little stronger. I've been in L.A. for over 6 years now, so it's kind of mellowed out. And when I go back home, now people say, you talk proper? And then I come back here and they say, ooh, you got country.
Right, right.
Well, you're the baby in the family, right?
I am.
The youngest of three children?
Youngest of three, yeah.
And are your siblings also in the entertainment industry?
No. My sister is the oldest. She is the owner of her own daycare center.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
And my brother is a CPA.
Uh-huh. Does he do your taxes? He takes care of you?
He used to, but things got difficult.
Okay, yeah.
You know, when you start working in Canada.
Right.
And start working, you know. So
that bread stack.
And then you kind of move up into a different tax bracket.
Right. You know.
You got the racks on racks on racks. You know.
By the way, I found out. It works.
I get that.
Don't judge me.
It makes sense.
Oh, gosh. Guys, so let's name them. So we already know that you were a former athlete. And I know you. What happened? Like you, what happened? Get it from an injury, right?
No. Long story short, injuries did play a part in it. I tore my first ACL when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. I tore my second ACL.
Oh my god!
My junior year at Baylor University. Mm-hmm. Shout out to BU. But I did come back and play my senior year and had a great senior year and you know did all the NFL. You know, invitations and the combine and the pro day and was actually pursued by a few NFL teams, mm-hmm. but they kind of wanted to develop me, like send me to the European NFL League or send me to the Arena Football League.
Right.
I was two semesters away from finishing grad school, so it was like, chase this football dream or just go ahead and complete my education and move on to another career.
Well, what made you want to go into the entertainment field?
You know what? It's something I've always been partial to. I've always been the class clown of the family, you know, impersonating celebrities and
right.
making people laugh. So it's always been in me. And even in high school, I would always book like the lead in the plays, and I did all the talent shows. And so entertainment has always been a vital part of my life. It's just when you're a collegiate athlete, that's what you're in college to do.
Oh, right, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
You don't get the luxury of having spring breaks and summer vacations.
Right.
Spring break, we were on campus.
So right. being a class clown, you do stand-up comedy, right?
Yeah. I actually got my entertainment start in stand-up. I was doing stand-up comedy long before I was acting.
And you still doing it now?
I haven't. I haven't done stand-up actually since I booked L.A. Complex.
Okay. So within acting and doing a comedy, which one is more important to you? Which one are you more passionate about?
Oh, acting, by far.
Really?
I only started doing the stand-up to help me pursue the acting.
Okay.
Because when I sat back and I looked at the people who I idolized, probably with the exception of Will Smith, but everybody else down the line, from Martin Lawrence to, you know, Eddie Murphy, they all had a stand-up comedy background.
Yeah, because, I mean, even in comedy, like, you are acting sometimes. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
And I quickly found out that the best preparation for my acting was stand-up comedy. Because when you're doing stand-up comedy, all you're doing is you're portraying a character on stage.
Yeah.
You're telling stories and you're depicting these stories as lifelike as you can and bringing these stories to life.
True. Okay.
Right. So going back to your childhood growing up, is it true that you had the fifth highest ACT score in the greater Houston area?
I did.
Shut your mouth. Are you serious?
I did. I was blessed enough to blow the socks off the ACT score, the ACT test, and I had a pretty high GPA.
Okay.
So all of a sudden, I went from being recruited as an athlete to getting letters from Brown University,
right.
Princeton, Harvard, saying we would like you to come for an academic scholarship.
So why Baylor then?
I actually was a Notre Dame fan. I was a diehard Notre Dame fan my entire life. My brother was a Michigan fan. I was Notre Dame. And it was two players in the state of Texas that got recruited by Notre Dame my senior year, me being one of them. Loved Notre Dame. I was always just knew I was going to Notre Dame.
Right.
I took my official visit to South Bend, Indiana. On January 17th.
Ooh, yeah.
And I hated it.
Right. Oh,
nothing against Notre Dame. I love the campus. It's gorgeous. It was beautiful. But being a poor black kid from Houston, going to South Bend, Indiana in the middle of January, it was a huge culture shock. You know, I didn't see anybody around campus who looked like me, so I didn't feel like I could relate to anybody up there.
People white. The snow was white. Everything white.
Yeah, but it wasn't even more so the skin color. It was just the culture in itself, and being in South Bend, Indiana.
Right.
And you know
that sounds boring.
Yeah,
that just sounds boring.
Man. Yeah. So it was heartbreaking when I got up there and realized that I probably wasn't going to go to Notre Dame. But the light at the end of the tunnel was. The offensive coordinator that was recruiting me at Notre Dame got the head coaching job at Baylor. So he stayed on me. He's like, hey, you can still come, you know.
right.
And then he's, you know, all the whole recruiting pitch, you know, you can start as a freshman and, you know, be a star of the team as opposed to sitting in Notre Dame and waiting behind these other players for
That's true,
years.
Yeah.
So it was just good recruiting on my coach's behalf. And, I made as rational of a decision as I could make as a 17-year-old high school kid.
Right. Please hold. Megan, he is cute and smart.
Girl, you just now understood.
Okay. And you're a fat boy. You played Alpha Phi Alpha?
Yep, I was
okay.
The, I was the, yeah.
Okay. Why Alpha? I'm a Delta. Why Alpha?
Everything that the organization stands for is what I try to epitomize as a man.
Okay.
You saw that face got straight.
Right.
He's like, yeah, I'm serious
He's
about
like,
it.
It's what it
boiled down to. I thought that I had to be a Omega because I was a football player.
Right.
I love Omega.
I'm a Cuba. Yeah,
you're
a
Cuba.
Don't you throw that up.
You can't throw it up to your brother. You're not a Q.
Don't throw that up.
I'm just around kids.
Oh, yeah. Man.
I didn't throw it up, man. I ain't throw it up.
R.I.P. It was good knowing.
They coming for you.
I looked around the campus, and the people that were the most relatable to me were the alpha men, and then a few of my other teammates on the football team had interest in alpha, and it was coincidental that I did too, and we all pledged together.
How many was on your line?
Just 9.
And what number are you?
I was 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you was 5 everything. 5th and...
Fifth on your line. Has connections through that being alpha helped you get any gigs or anything? Any jobs?
Not as far as in the acting, but absolutely in the networking world. Right. And just as having a support network, as you can attest to, being a Delta.
Right.
When you got the bros behind you, it's like you're never alone.
Right.
You know, I got my brothers got my back. So
right.
Yeah. Okay. But I'm sure. But there's a lot of alpha men in the entertainment business.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure. You know, when we cross paths, we'll have that commonality, and hopefully it'll give me a leg up. So I can look out for you, boy.
Right. So hold on, you play football. Let me guess. How tall are you?
6 feet.
How much did you weigh in college?
About 188.
Okay, you play. I'm gonna guess it. You play offense.
I did.
She's 6 feet. Hold on, I'm gonna try to get this. If you're 188,
and I was really fast.
Okay, then you're a wide receiver.
Correct.
There you go. Okay, I know my stuff. I was gonna be like, you cornerback, because I was the other option. I don't know.
But she telling on herself though. She know about them football players.
No, that's because I work in sports. That's why. I need to know these things. So yes, and I play fantasy football every year.
Do you?
I do.
What capacity do you work in sports?
I have a sports marketing certification.
Nice.
So if
I wasn't an actor, that's probably the field I would be working in.
Really? Like in what capacity? Like an agent?
Agent.
Really?
Yeah. I have a dire passion for football.
Okay. Well, you can join one of my 2 fantasy football teams.
Well, I've never done it, but I might just do it.
You're probably going to lose. I'm in a girl league and a boy league, and the girl league is harder than a boy league.
I believe that.
It is so true. Okay, so you graduated. So this is phenomenal to me because you were in college for 3 years, undergrad. Mm-hmm. You got your undergrad degrees in what?
Business management and corporate communications.
Okay, smart. And then you also got your graduate degree, which is a master's in educational administration. Why choose that? What was that?
The way that happened is, I graduated early. I graduated in 3 years. But when you're on football scholarship or any athletic scholarship, or most athletic scholarships, I should say, you have 5 years to compete for 4 years.
Okay.
So by me graduating in 3 years, I still had 2 more years of eligibility.
Right.
Also translates to 2 more years of free education.
Right.
So it was either take golf and swimming 101 or enroll in grad school.
Right.
So I enrolled in grad school, and the reason why I did education administration is because I've always been fond of influencing young kids. Okay. And when I sat down with my academic advisor, and he asked me, like, what do I see myself doing? I thought I would see myself as an athletic director.
Okay.
So I already had the business, the management degree, which is helpful as an athletic director. I already had a degree in communications, which is also helpful.
Okay.
I just didn't have an educational background.
Okay.
So I said, all right, well, I'll do education administration.
Okay, that boy's smart. Talking about 23... That's when you went to go do your master's, right?
At the age of 23? I finished my master's.
You finished at 23?
You directing her for him?
We're sharing.
This is why I don't like when we have male guests here. I'm sitting up here like out of the way.
Why would you then, you've got all this education, you're on your path to becoming this amazing athletic director, what made you go, you know what, pump the brakes, I'm gonna move to New York and pursue entertainment?
Because I'm stupid.
Really?
You gotta be.
Like, I don't think so, man. You got your passion, though.
Yeah, but to a certain extent, why spend 5 years of your life pursuing all this educational background and then one day just drop it?
Because you have something to fall back on, though.
But that's true. But a rational person doesn't think, I'll just pursue my dream. A rational person says, well, I've always liked to do entertainment. I've always liked to sing, always liked to dance, but I got to use these degrees. So you have to, there's a sense of craziness to for any actor to step out on faith and just one day just pack all your stuff in the car and say, I'm moving across country.
And I did the same thing.
Right, I did the same thing too.
Well, tell us this. Tell us your story. Here's the thing. I watched one of your past interviews, and you said this, you were mentioning how people come here and they, you know, want to come here with a dream.
Yeah.
Tell us your story. Like, how did you feel when you first got that first acting, role? Just tell us the story of how you even got it, how you even got an agent, or how you even got to the point of even going to get that first big acting role.
Well, I'll tell you two. I'll tell you two separate stories. The first story is how I booked my first acting gig, period. Mm-hmm. And then I'll tell you how I booked my first major acting gig.
Okay.
The first acting gig I was doing, I was in Waco, Texas. I was actually I was a school teacher.
Okay.
So while I was in grad school, I was teaching Monday through Friday. My grad school classes were on Saturdays. So I was a 22, 23-year-old school teacher teaching high school students. And I started doing stand-up comedy in the Houston area. So I would drive from Waco, Texas, where Baylor University is, to Houston on the weekends, do all these comedy club circuits. And one day I did my first set I did, this lady came up to me and was like, "You are hilarious. Like, have you ever thought about acting?" I was like, "Actually, I'm planning on moving." So she invited me to this casting call. I went in nonchalant, didn't know anything about the proper etiquette. And, like, I think I even did my audition with my backpack still on, and I booked the lead role.
Wow.
And so what was that for?
It was for an independent movie
called
Getting Paid. Mm-hmm. So that was my first acting gig. I was ecstatic because, like I said, it was the first thing I've ever auditioned for. First acting gig outside of, like, high school plays and stuff. So that was that story. And then the second story was I moved to New York partially because I always just wanted to live in New York. I always had, like, an East Coast bias. And part of that was because I thought that I could pursue acting in New York. And so then after I stayed in New York for a couple years, I realized it wasn't really popping off like I needed it to. I packed up my stuff and was in the process of moving to L.A. And in the meantime, I spent the summer in Texas. And my girl at the time was like, "Well, I got an agent in Dallas. Why don't you just sign with this agency?" Signed with the agent. The first audition she sent me out on was for Prison Break.
Wow.
Booked it.
Wow.
So it was like the number one show in the country.
I mean, so even though she says she has an agent here, like...
No, she had an agent in Dallas.
In Dallas.
Yeah.
You just, what, you sent some pictures in, you walked in, you, like,
I submitted. I had some bad headshots from New York. Like, at that time, New York was still using black and white headshots.
Right.
It was not... old black and white headshot. Yeah. She's like, "Yeah, well, you know, I can get you out, but you're probably gonna need some new pictures eventually when you go to LA." But ironically enough, so this role that I booked was actually Mike Jones. You remember Mike Jones?
Mike Jones.
And Mike Jones is from Houston too. It was his role. Mm-hmm. He played this role, this dude named Trey Morgan. Mm-hmm. But I auditioned for just one of the guys in his entourage or whatever. They had some conflict with his scheduling or something. So basically, he got the boot. I got upgraded to a recurring role.
Well, thank you, Mike Jones.
I know, right?
Exactly. Mike Jones. So, but even let me finish. Even when I booked the role, though, I was faced with the dilemma, and the agent, Yvette Stone, who passed away since then, she said, "You sure you want to move to L.A.?" She said, "Because when you move to L.A., you're going to be a small fish in a big pond.
Mm-hmm.
She said, "You just booked Prison Break, and I booked a movie called Walking Tall, which was shot in Dallas, too." She said, "You just booked, like, two of the first jobs you ever auditioned for. You could be the big fish in a small pond. There's not a lot of talent in Dallas. There's not a lot of people pursuing acting."
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, you know what? I'm going to go against the big dogs as opposed to, you know, limiting myself to
being a professional actor. So, are you still with them?
No. I never signed with Yvette. It was just, it was a temporary thing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
And I know you did stand-up, too.
Yeah.
World famous Apollo Theater.
Say something funny.
Woo!
That was funny.
So, was that the best or scariest moment performing?
It was both.
It was both.
It was definitely scary as hell.
Right.
Because here's what happened.
Okay.
So I've always been a music head. Like, my friends call me the Box, because like if there's like a throwback song from like 92, they'll call me up like, "Hey, who sings that song?"
Oh, I need your help, because
Return of the Mac.
Right.
And I'll be like, Mark Morrison, like 1992. Like, I'll just know these facts. Right. I'm a huge music fan like that. So when I auditioned for the Apollo, I actually auditioned as a rapper.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Can you spit, though?
Can
you
spit?
Why you say it to him? Why you say it to him?
Can we hear some?
I can spit, too.
If you want to hear something, I actually
don't you spit over here.
Yeah. I can spit literally.
I knew it.
Yeah, I actually got a song on iTunes.
Okay. What's the song?
It's called Play On.
Play On. Yes, yeah. Yes.
Okay. So it's just a smooth little southern
little
feel sound, to it.
Did the sound kind of
float on?
Not at all.
Not at all.
That's the first thing that came in my mind, man.
Yeah. But so I made it onto Apollo as a rapper. So I got past the initial round.
Wow.
And when I knew I wasn't trying to pursue a rapping career, I was trying to pursue acting / stand-up comedy career. So when I went for the rehearsal, I asked the director, I was like, "Hey, can I do stand-up?" And she's like, "Absolutely not. You made it as a rapper, you gonna rap."
Wow.
And not as politely as I just said it.
Right.
And I was like, "All right." So when I got up for rehearsals, she was like, "All right, if you can make them laugh, then I'll let you do stand up." And there was like 9 people in the audience, and they were the other contestants.
Yeah.
So of course they're gonna be hating. Right. Like, he ain't funny.
Like this one,
he ain't funny. He all right. He kind of funny. Well, I laugh a little bit, so they started laughing, and she said, "You can do stand up."
Okay. So then, what happened when you were actually performing in front of people at Apollo? With a huge live audience.
Well, it went something like this. All right, ladies and gentlemen, coming next to the stage, we got a comedian. Boo! Boo!
Wow.
Boo!
The whole time?
They started booing when they said the word
comedian. Yeah.
Aw.
So I got out. So I got out, and thank God for the ladies. So when I come around the corner and I rub the log, a couple of ladies liked how I looked. So they were like, "Yes, Lord, yes,
Jesus,
yes, praise them, praise them." So that got the crowd to quiet down a little bit to where I started getting my jokes out. But I survived.
But,
I didn't win it.
Okay,
but I survived.
That's huge.
So you got to be the original Sandman.
I did.
At least you didn't get booed.
That's the accomplishment, because they be hating at the Apollo.
Yeah. Yes, especially it's especially hard for comedians.
Right. And how long were you in New York before you moved to L.A.?
Just a couple years.
Okay.
Yeah, just 2 years.
Do you ever look back and regret not taking a different path? Like going harder for football or going harder for your academic career?
I wouldn't say regrets, because I've only been acting, you know, just over 6 years, and I've done a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's by my standards, and so I hate to say regrets. I do wonder where I would be in my career if I had started acting earlier. You know, I can't help but to wonder, you know, if I wouldn't have, you know.
Going to school?
No, I don't. No, I'm absolutely glad I went going to school, but I was like, well, what if I'd known I wanted to be an actor?
Actor, yeah.
Right.
When soon as I finished grad school.
Right.
At 23, I said, I want to be an actor. But I didn't. But I don't have regrets about that. I just, sometimes I wonder.
Don't wonder. Get where you need to be, honey. Mm-hmm.
Prison Break was my show. They had all the fine men in Prison Break. Yeah. All of them. It's like every time on Fox. Sorry.
It's all right.
So what was it like to see yourself for the first time on Prison Break?
It was surreal.
Was it?
It was crazy. The episode came on, and my phone just started blowing off the people were calling.
That's good. That's perfect.
Yeah. My mom was calling, and it was surreal is the best way to describe it. Like, you can't prepare yourself. Like, you know you're going to be on this episode.
Right.
But to see yourself, and then to be opposite of such a prestigious actor like Rockman Dunbar.
Right.
You know, I didn't get warm-up scenes with, like, just some other guys. My first scene was with Rockman.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I was like, all right, well, I got to. And then there was a scene where I was taking charge. I was putting him in his place and telling him, no, we got to do that. We're going to do this, this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a good experience.
Okay.
Dead air. So after that, you went ahead and you started a show that was actually really, really pretty good, L.A. Complex.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the, of playing Calder, right?
Yeah.
What was the most challenging part about that character?
The most challenging part was the obvious, being a straight man, playing a gay, closeted rapper.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a lot of back history and a lot of personal experience to choose to draw from.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, when an actor plays a role, if you're playing, you know, an athlete, I could say, oh, okay, well, I'm an athlete. I didn't really have, you know, a lot to choose from when I created the backstory for Caldrick.
Right.
So I had to rely on the direction of our director and my imagination, just in general, how I wanted to manipulate different people to making them think that I was somebody else when I really wasn't. And so, if anything, it allowed me the creative freeness to create a backstory for Caldrick, but that can also be very challenging.
I must say you did an amazing job with that, and along with that, it also got you to win Best Male Actor in 2013, right?
I was nominated.
You was nominated.
I didn't win.
Right? You didn't win?
No, I didn't win.
Oh, that was for, was it Canadian Screen Awards?
Yeah,
which is the quintessential of the Canadian Emmy Awards. But I forget the guy who won, but he was Canadian,
mm-hmm.
and their show was in its last season.
Well, even just being nominated, I mean, how did that make you feel, man? Because, that's amazing. You have fans here and in Canada.
I was flabbergasted. I could not believe that I had been nominated,
mm-hmm.
Especially so early in my career.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like you said, it was an honor to be there.
Yeah.
An honor to be recognized, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially when you're in somewhat of an ensemble cast. You know, I had a lot of storylines, a lot of other people that could have been nominated, and they picked me. I was like, really?
That's good.
Me?
That's dope. Right. But they have a lot of people waiting and wanted this show to continue. Why did it really stop? Because it didn't get picked up.
The politics of it all, mm-hmm. what happened in short, the show didn't do as well in Canada as mm-hmm. it did here in the States. It was the best reviewed show that the CW had ever had.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the Canadian network kind of pulled out,
mm-hmm.
and the CW was like, well, we need a Canadian partner to partner with. Because the way the business works is...
That makes sense.
You pay a fraction of the cost to film in Canada and then air here. So they still wanted it to be shot in Canada, and we couldn't do that anymore with the Canadian network pulling out. So,
but some of the scenes were here in L.A., right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, but it was like 90%
in Canada. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Well, that's okay, because that made room for you to be Jason in Room We Love Her Friends, which I love. It's a hit web show. If you haven't seen it, check it out, Room We Love Her Friends. Tell us about that. How did you even get to be a part of that?
Well, actually, Room We Love Her Friends was initially a pilot, and it was being shopped around. And I shot that maybe a year or so before I even booked L.A. Complex. And the pilot didn't get picked up, or at least not as fast as Numa and Dennis would have liked it to have been picked up. So they said, you know what, let's see what traction we can pick up if we chop the first pilot episode up into three parts and make it, you know, like a web series.
Right.
And it caught fire.
Right.
And people started demanding more episodes. So we made it into a full-fledged web series. And fast forward 2 years, we won an award for it at the ABFF Film Festival last year.
And congratulations on that, too. That's huge.
Thank you.
Are you guys going to continue to do more episodes, or are you trying to move it to the TV space?
We just filmed more episodes last night.
Dope.
Okay.
Yeah. Dope. We're filming again tomorrow. So we're in the full swing of season 3 right now.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah.
I love it. Yes. Make sure you guys check that out. Support Black films.
Room We Love Her Friends.
Yeah.
Now you're Black Jesus right now.
Yeah.
Right, you are. Indeed. How was it like? I know that's, you know, a great role to play. How was it like, though, getting some of the backlash from the media, you know, saying it's blasphemous, you playing Black Jesus?
No, playing Fish, right?
I play Fish, Black Jesus. Which is Black Jesus' right-hand man.
Right.
It's kind of his
you basically Peter. 2014 Peter. 2014 Peter.
Exactly.
That's what you're
exactly.
saying.
Yeah. It's been a gift and a curse. Everything was expected. You know, Aaron Magruder is a smart man.
Right.
People at Adult Swim, they're smart people.
Yeah.
They know how the game works. They know any time that you cover Jesus in any capacity.
Right.
I mean, even if we take the Bible, open it up and make a show exactly how the Bible is written, there's still going to be some backlash.
Yeah.
So it was expected. But what we didn't expect was the positivity that came out of the backlash.
Right.
People started creating all these petitions and started trying to boycott the show. Mm-hmm. And what we saw was, for every one person that was trying to boycott the show,
right,
we picked up 50 more people telling you why you should watch the show, right, and why you shouldn't take it so seriously, and right, to understand that it's satire and it's a comedy and it's not, you know. So we didn't expect the positivity mm-hmm. to derive out of the backlash. And it's been all great. I mean, we've been the number one show. We just found out today that we were number one again last night.
Oh, good.
So we're the new number one Thursday show.
Oh, that's good. Congratulations. Yeah.
Who would have known? Yeah.
How's it like working with Aaron Magruder, by the way?
Super dope. Mm-hmm. Super dope. We share the same birthday. So we already had that Gemini connection.
Okay.
And he's just a real cool person to be working with. You know, very, very artistic, very creative. Mm-hmm. And as a fellow Gemini, I get it.
Okay.
I get the creativity. And what he does that a lot of executive producers don't allow us to do all the time as actors is he gives you creative leeway.
That's mm-hmm. good.
You know, yeah, he'll say, that's how it's written. If it feels a little comfortable for you to say it a different way or to, okay, you know, just do it that way.
Right.
You know, and he always explained to you, you know, I reserve the right to say go back to on script.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of times he'll keep whatever you feel more comfortable
That's
with.
That's good. But as a comedian yourself, I mean, you work with Charlie Murphy mm-hmm. and John Witherspoon.
Yeah.
Like, how was it working with them?
Fun and...
I know it has to be fun, man.
It's fun, yet frustrating because my character doesn't laugh a lot. Mm-hmm. He's kind of like the serious, you know, the hard dude of the crew.
Yeah.
But you can't stand face-to-face with Charlie Murphy
right,
and keep a straight face.
Right.
Yeah. So it's difficult to stay in character, to stay as fish when Charlie Murphy is rashing out insults and we're going toe-to-toe, you know, and John Witherspoon is walking in. Ooh, just not.
Yeah.
Everybody need a little taste, you know? And then everybody else gets to laugh, right, but I can't laugh. Can't laugh. And I'm the serious character.
Right. Yeah. I mean, but did everyone adapt to you on set, though, as you in your character, though? Like, Offset. Like, let's say Offset. Not even...
Initially, they didn't because mm-hmm. I'm a very outgoing, mm-hmm. charismatic, goofy mm-hmm. person. But when we started filming, when I was Fish, I was always Fish
mm.
on set.
Right.
You know, so even if
I'm supposed to, yeah.
But not everybody gets that.
Got
so
it.
Even when I would go over, we would be in between sets and we were doing the turnaround,
mm-hmm.
I would go get some juice and some crackers or whatever. I would still be Fish.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, because I didn't want to lose that momentum going into the turnaround scene of the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And some people would be like, oh. And then I'd be all set and they'd be like, man, you cool. I was like, yeah. I thought you were ass.
Yes, I'm
like,
no. About my career. I'm
Fish
serious. Yeah.
is an ass.
Exactly.
Andre's cool. You know,
right.
So don't.
Right.
So it took some getting used to by you know, some of the people that who worked on the crew, but, you know.
Right.
For the most part, the cast, they knew that.
When they say outside of Charlie Murphy and John Witherspoon, who, out of within your whole entire career so far, who has been the best actor or actress that you have ever worked with? I'm sorry.
Wow. I don't know. I've worked with so many talented actors.
We'll say all, and then we're gonna ask.
Yeah.
Who do you want to work with?
I want to work with.
Now, please don't say Halle Berry. Because everybody wants to work with Halle Berry.
Can you blame him?
Right. Right. Hater.
I'm not a hater. Stop calling me.
Stop acting like what?
I know, right?
Who do I want to work with? I want to work with. Antoine Fuqua. I want to work with John Singleton. I want to work with the Hughes brothers. I want to work with Brad Pitt.
Mm.
You know, I'd love to work with.
That's a wonderful experience.
I'd love to work with, just hands down. If I had to pick one person
mm-hmm.
hands down, Will Smith.
Will Smith. Mm-hmm. I was going to say something about that because listening to some of the things that you say, I'm a fan of Will Smith, so I've listened to some of his interviews before he started become the great actor that he is now, and you say some of the same things that he was saying back then, like the humbleness and how serious you take your career and how serious you take, like you were saying about being on set, coming off set and being two different people, because once you're on set, you are in character.
Yeah.
You have embodied that character, and a lot of people don't understand that. Some people who have been in the game for a long time are maybe comfortable where they are in their career, they sometimes get a little bit comfortable.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah. That's a huge compliment.
Yeah.
You know, I just, you know, I just try to take the craft seriously. You know, a lot of people kind of, you know, not so much, but, you know, one thing that I've learned, and this is why I don't regret anything. One thing I learned in my professional life is professionalism. So, I go to set every day with that in mind and being respectful of other people, you know, and if it's your scene, mm-hmm. then I'm going to read my lines with the same zest that, you know, that you deserve
right,
because the camera's on you.
Of course.
You know, not everybody does that. Some people half-ass do it or you know, some people don't even do it. If it's your coverage and I'm clean of the shot, which means I'm not even in it, some people have the assistants read the lines.
And have you taken any classes? Like, have you done any acting classes or anything?
I haven't.
Are you serious? You've never taken an acting class?
No, I took one acting class for all of 2 months.
Wow.
When I was living in L.A., and I quickly found that it wasn't for me.
Wow. Okay.
Not saying that everybody should say, oh, acting classes ain't for me. You don't know if it's not for you.
Right.
You don't try it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I went to the acting classes, and what happened was all these different techniques and all these things that you have to think, and it started making me get in my head. And the way I try to act, I try to be as organic and as natural as
right.
possible. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to play a quirky character who has a nervous twitch, then I embody that character. I put myself in that character's shoes, and I become that character. I don't want to have to imagine that I'm talking to somebody else, or I don't want to have to imagine that I have these characteristics. I take on those characteristics.
Right.
So it's kind of a combination between method and just trying to be as natural as possible. I'm not one of these people who's so philosophical. It's like, well, the art of acting is, you know, like, I don't take it that serious, but what I found works for me is
right.
to be just completely out of my head and free of anything that will cloud my better judgment when I'm making choices and things like that.
That's
good. You got to do what works for you. Out of all the roles that you've had so far, which one resembles you the most in your real life?
okay. Must be a good one.
If I had to pick one, I would pick probably Jay from Roomie Love and Friends.
I knew you was gonna say that.
Yeah. But Jay more so resembles me at a younger age.
Okay.
You know, being indecisive, being a ladies man more so. In my age that I'm at now, I've kind of outgrown all of those games and things that Jay plays, but I'm not. Calja King was bipolar,
mm-hmm.
just about, and Fish is ex-convict with anger issues, but that's not me. So, like, through process of elimination, I guess it would be Jay.
Okay.
No one ever asked you that before?
Not in that manner.
Okay.
They typically ask, like, if we're talking about Black Jesus, mm-hmm. they'll say, how much of yourself is Fish?
Got it.
Right.
Now, I know success means different things to different people, whether it's money or, you know, winning an award. What does success mean to you?
Success to me is
being at Black Hollywood Live.
Yeah, absolutely. Being on that BHL.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. It evolves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that answer evolves for me because 3 years ago, I was the graveyard manager at CVS Pharmacy, and I was the membership manager at a gym.
Okay.
So I worked graveyard from 10 p.m. to 8 a.m. Then I went to work at 12 noon until 8 p.m. And then from 10 p.m.
Wow.
to 8 a.m. So success at that point mm-hmm. meant I wanted to become a working actor. That's all I prayed for. Just God, just please let me become a working actor to where I can focus on my craft and I can be better. At this point, success would mean being able to, as the question that you asked me, to be able to eventually work with Will Packer, you know, to slowly kind of progress into getting into film, bigger roles on TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love the role that I'm at now, but I'm looking for bigger, better things.
Right.
You know, eventually getting to the point where I'm not sitting in a, like, you know, I was a bit late getting here because I just finished. I'm going somewhere with this. You know, getting to the point where eventually I don't have to sit in a room and wait for 2 hours to audition.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That people recognize my talents to the capacity where they say, you know what, Andre Fuller would be perfect for this role. I know he can kill it. Let's give him a straight offer.
Right. Okay.
So that would be the next step in evolving for the answer to that question.
Okay. That's
and awesome. Then you ask me a year from now and it'll be different.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's right. True. That's true. Right. So you have a lot of lady fans around.
Do I?
You do. You have a lot of lady fans. And check the Twitter. Check the Twitter.
I check the Twitter.
Oh,
we go together. You checking my Twitter.
Right. I done check your Twitter. Are you in a relationship?
We go together. I just thought a comedian that day. I can't think of
my
name.
I am currently single, but I just got out of a relationship, so I'm still kind of in that limbo phase where,
It's complicated. So that's complicated. What your status says on Facebook. It's complicated. Gotcha. All right, and so what do you look for in a significant other?
Man, first and foremost, sense of humor.
Okay.
Like I said, I'm goofy as hell. Like to have fun.
What about hair?
Hair is good.
He had a whole conversation.
What about real versus fake hair?
Hair is good.
Real versus fake hair. You have an issue.
My thing is, regardless to how you're going to do your hair, just do your hair.
You know, whether it's paid for or natural, yours?
You know, just as long as you take pride in your, not just your hair, your appearance.
Right.
You know, just take pride in your appearance, because I'm always going to take pride in my appearance.
Right.
So if I can put forth the effort to make sure that I always look good for you, because I'm not looking good for anybody else. If I'm with you, then I'm looking good for you. Then, you know, do me the same honor of making sure that whatever your hairstyle is, that you rock it to the best of your abilities, and you make sure you keep it on point.
All right.
Wait, hold up. We got to back up and get in your business. Why did your last relationship end?
Was it you? Be honest.
It didn't understand the career.
It was. If you're asking if I cheated or something to that capacity.
No. But was it you? It could have been like something personal.
No,
but
it was just complicated.
It's complicated.
The answer is complicated. You don't have enough time on this show for me to divulge.
Me and Megan will talk everything. To you after.
So what is a
But it wasn't me.
Right.
It wasn't her. Mm-hmm. It was just
the situation.
It just
complicated. Can get out the man business.
Okay,
that's
I'm
fine.
Sorry.
That's fine. I actually told her to ask you that.
Text it to you.
Right.
Or ask her why he ain't in.
Right. No, but what are some of your pet peeves?
In what capacity?
For women. So you see a woman do something, you're like, Lord. Like if you go on a date and she does something crazy. She smack her gum, she farts, something, what?
Mm-mm. Well, no man likes a woman who farts.
I think I have one that I think all men would be.
Go
like,
ahead.
I think it would be that Set one, like off. When you, it would be that one when you like with a girl and she's like one of those people that like when a waiter comes, she's just very like.
Rude?
Rude to the waiter. Like always, like what she said to me, or what she said. That kind of person I can't deal with.
Oh, I swerve those kind of chicks.
Swerve,
in the first place.
Right.
Yeah, no, I'm like for me, I try to, I like to be as drama free as possible.
Right,
I'm a pretty easygoing dude. You know, when I'm intense, I'm intense. But for the most part, I'm laid back. I don't like to take things too seriously.
Right,
you know,
right.
Like small, minute little situations. So. I don't, as most men don't like, I don't like to be nagged and, you know, I don't want to feel like I'm being reprimanded by the person I'm in a relationship with. I'm a very respectful person when I'm in a relationship, so I just ask for the same respect of just pumping your brakes and taking it easy and, you know.
All right, ladies on the Twitter. You heard him. You heard what he said.
Yeah, but not on Twitter, though. Tweet me on Twitter.
Well, what are you doing in your free time? Like, when you're not doing any audition or anything like that, what are you doing on your free time? You're still doing your comedy, right?
No, I was doing the music.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, I just put out my first single on iTunes.
And it's called Roll On Again, people.
Play On.
Play On.
Play On.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Are we rap?
Yeah. Almost. Yeah, we don't talk about your upcoming projects. What you got upcoming that we can check you out on?
Check me out on Twitter.
Okay. Okay.
And Instagram, Mr. Dre Fuller. Mm-hmm. And my Facebook page is up, and I'm active on all the social websites, and I do holler back at people when I can. So, as I said, I don't always get a chance to retweet and mm-hmm. to reply to everybody, but I am very active, and I do respond to people.
Okay.
Because I appreciate the love. You show me love, I show you love.
All right. And where can we find you guys?
You can find me at Kiki Ayers.
All right, people, you can also find me on all social medias at Cortez G West. Also, make sure you follow us on BHL Online. Please follow us and comment and let us know either who you want to be on the show. All right.
And as always, you can find me, Megan Thomas, on that Facebook, that Twitter, and that Instagram at Meg Scoop, like scoop of ice cream. And don't forget, you can always check out Andre Fuller on all of his social media sites. Also, don't forget to check him out on iTunes, his song play on. Woo! It's amazing. I haven't heard it yet, but I'm sure it is. And also, don't forget to check him out on Adult Swim every Wednesday, correct?
Thursday night.
Mm-hmm. Adult Swim. Check him out on Black Jesus. And as always, we'll see you next time on Next.
That's right, people.
From producers Maria Menounos, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire BHL crew, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I'm your BHL announcer, Scipio. Instagram me at Planet Scipio. Thank you for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.